All right. So the Torah portion this week has us starting with looking at the tabernacle, you know, and it's not going to be our last week. In fact, this is just the start of looking at all the things about the tabernacle. You know, it's an elaborate construction project, and the furnishings and the garments and the equipment, like the pots and the pans that it takes. It's going to dominate, in fact, I would say, the book of Exodus. We keep reading about it over and over, and the things that have to be done. And we get our first instruction about the tabernacle at the very start. You heard a little bit of it from the Torah Adrash. Well, here's the first verse again. Exodus 25, 1 and 2. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell Bnei Israel to take me up an offering for me. From anyone whose heart compels him, you are to take my offering." All right, now's the time I shake you down. No. Everything, though, that's going to be needed to build the tabernacle is going to be received from the Israelites. And it's going to be voluntary contributions from all of them for everything they need. The tabernacle, which is so important to Adonai and so important to the Israelites, it's going to be built entirely from things given voluntarily. Even in these first few beginning verses of the portion, we get a glimpse of the importance of the heart attitude. For Israel then and for us now, we can have one of two kinds of hearts. The first is the heart that wants to follow Adonai. And the second is the heart that wants to wander off or wander away from him. But there are even nuances that we need to see and understand within each. Within the heart that wants to follow Adonai, there can be different desires and different reasons for it. For some, it's a feeling of wanting to follow what he says because we love him, so we desire to do. And for others, there can be that desire to do what he says because they feel like they have to. It's an obligation. In fact, they're kind of nervous that if they don't, what would God do to them? Either way, it'll appear that you're doing the right thing, right? Whether it's you're doing it because you're afraid or you're doing it because you want to. To the world or to other people around you, it might look the same. But there is a difference between doing something out of a feeling of obligation to Adonai and our desire to do for Adonai, which I'll call volunteering for Adonai. We read that the portion starts off saying that those who want to volunteer to give should give. There's no commandment to give. It's as if it's not like you have to give in order to prepare for the temple. There's no commandment. Instead, it's if you want to give, it's good to give. You know, it's okay. So then which is better? To follow an obligation or a commandment to do, or to do it voluntarily? To do voluntarily what Adonai tells you to do as an instruction. And there are some who'll say, who cares as long as it gets done? But remember, the heart attitude is so very important. Most of the world has the thinking that it's better to want to do something, even spontaneously, out of your own decision to do it, not forced by obligation. They say it's better to do because you made the decision out of love of doing than to be forced to have to do it. It seems logical until you hear the other side, though. It's said, unlike the world's thinking, that rabbinic understanding is that mandatory obedience is better than voluntary obedience. In this view, it's better to do a deed of or a mitzvah in obedience than simply because you want to. Obedience to an instruction or following the mitzvah involves a greater degree of understanding and self-discipline than a spontaneous action or a voluntary action doesn't take. At least, you know, for both of them, there's some kind of heart-level motivation that it's going to take. Therefore, though, it's seen by the rabbis that obedience involves more than just the whole person in God's service. That I understand He wants me to do it, I make the choice to do it. The difference between an obligation and volunteering or desiring can be seen as in the difference between enslaved or being free to many people. They believe that if they're obligated to do something, they're actually enslaved and forced to do it. That being said, I believe that we are all actually enslaved to something. And what or who you're enslaved yourself to will determine just how much freedom you actually have and what you can do with that freedom. When we're enslaved to either sin or that harsh master, who in this world is Satan, there are no choices that can actually be made that'll bring you everlasting enjoyment. I would say that freedom for believers is a freedom to make the choice of enslavement to Adonai that does bring everlasting joy to us. The reality is that everyone is voluntary. Everything, I should say, is voluntary, because we may be instructed by Adonai to do. But due to the free will that He gives us, we make the decision to do or not to do. Just as Yeshua's invitation to take on the yoke, I don't have the scripture here, but remember He says, "Take my yoke, it's light and easy." His invitation is really letting you make the choice. You can stick your head through the yoke and allow it to be applied to you, or you don't have to. Freedom, as we see in the Passover story, is not a matter of total autonomy or the absence of authority over one's life, actually. But freedom is servitude to the one true God and the one who's worthy to be served. For Israel, they went from following what Pharaoh demanded with no choice in their part to having the freedom to make the decision to follow Adonai. We enter this freedom by serving willingly, as the Israelites did when each one contributed to the offering voluntarily, as his heart moved them. Understanding the difference between forced to do and being allowed to decide to do really tells us more about who Adonai is than who we are. Traditional Jewish theology affirms that God is all-powerful, but also that God usually refrains from making use of this power when it comes to instructing us to do His will. It's said that one of the premises of biblical thinking, for example, is that God makes space for human decision-making and allows us the freedom and the power to make an impact upon the world in significant ways. It's called Zimzum, or the self-concealment of God. It's when Adonai makes the decision not to take up all the oxygen in the room, and gives room so that men can make the decision for themselves. Now, I've read a modern biblical scholar who wrote that God is a power-sharing rather than power-hoarding God. This means that we can obey God's will or not. That although Adonai has the power to do what he wants and actually has the power to make us do and us think what he wants, he doesn't do that. He shares the power with us in that he withholds his desire to have all things his way so that we have a say on what happens. Now, an example of this that we probably can relate to a little bit better is in a marriage. In a marriage, we want our spouse to do what we want. Let's face it. You know, it'd be an easier marriage if they just did what I told them to do. But in a happy relationship, you don't do, excuse me, you don't do because you have to. You do because you love that person and you want to. It's when both sides are both doing for the other that the relationship is the strongest. Well, Adonai is our spouse in these terms. We are in a relationship that requires, but we do not do because it's required, but because we desire to do it. For Adonai, this statement is a little bit different, though. For Adonai, although he is not required, he does because he also wants to love and please. Each side of our relationship with Adonai shows love, and that is when the relationship works at its best. Rebison, can I have one of your candies from up there? Someone run it up for me. She's got something. Thank you. The effects... I didn't mean run. Thank you. Leave it there. Don't worry about it. The effects of who we enslave ourselves to can be seen in the difference between what we see happen in the Passover story and what we're told in what Yeshua says. Excuse me. At the start of the Passover story, it's as told in Exodus, we read this about the Egyptians treating the Israelites. Excuse my excessive noise. So I try to hold down my cough. Exodus 1:11. So they set slave masters over them to affect them with forced labor and build Pithom and Ramses as storage cities for Pharaoh. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and the more they spread. So the Egyptians dreaded the presence of Bnei Israel. They worked them harshly and made their lives bitter with hard labor, with mortar and bricks, doing all sorts of work in the fields. In all their labors, they worked them with cruelty. They were enslaved to Egypt with Pharaoh as the king. They were made to work hard, and it only got worse for them. There was no way to love the king and have the king love them back. It was just an oppressive relationship they were in. That's what any relationship with a harsh master is going to be like. But Yeshua does not want to be a harsh master towards us. In fact, he calls us forward to him so that we will not be under the harsh master of this world. Look what he says in Matthew 11, starting in verse 28 of Matthew 11. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yeshua knows that you've been under a harsh master for many years in this life and wants us to come out from under the master, under that master. Come to him. He says to put on his yoke because it's easy and light. In the world, a yoke of any kind is not viewed as being easy. The definition of a yoke tells us a little about what to expect when a yoke is placed upon us. The Oxford Languages Dictionary says a yoke is a wooden cross piece that is fastened over the necks of two animals and attached to a plow or cart that they're to pull. It is meant to be a working item used for heavy burdens. It also is defined as an agency of oppression, subjection, and servitude. The yoke was created to control, and in a sense, so that more work could be done by making the burden easier by sharing the work between two animals. If we see the yoke as an item that causes a shared burden, then the yoke that we put on should be so that we're yoked with Yeshua and not Satan. It's so that we're co-laborers with him. And this could be the best idea of a yoke that we could think of. We become enslaved to Adonai and yoked to Yeshua to ease our burdens. I can assure you that Satan is not yoking himself to anyone to make their burdens easier. Now, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, proclaimed himself proudly to be a slave when he introduced himself in the book of Romans. Romans 1:1. Paul, a slave of Messiah Yeshua, called to be an emissary and set apart for the good news of God, which he announced beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Shaul or Paul actually lists three ways to think of who he is. All three ways were actually meant to indicate the same thing about him, though. The first was he's a slave to Messiah Yeshua. The second, as an emissary from Messiah Yeshua. And if you didn't understand those two, he tries to clarify it with the third way when he says that he is set apart from the world to give everybody the good news of God. He considered himself to be a slave so that he could do what he wanted to do, which was to save the world through spreading the good news that Yeshua is the Messiah and what that meant to the world. We all have to make a decision. Who will we be its slave to? Now, it's nice to think that people don't have to be enslaved to anybody. It seems like that's what the world is all about, is trying to overcome other people so they can enslave them and force them into something that they want to do. The choice we are actually forced to make is, will we be yoked to Adonai, or will we be yoked to Satan? Now, there are those who say, I'm not yoked to anybody. I'm sorry, that's just wishful thinking. We all are yoked. And if you make a decision or a choice, and if you do not make a decision or a choice, then you have made a decision or a choice. Without the yoke of Adonai on you, then the yoke of Satan is forced upon you. For so many, that is the yoke they have on. But they don't even know that they have it on them. They think they feel free, but they're not really. They don't see or feel the weight of the yoke they have on them, so they don't know about it yet. The result of the yoke comes later. Without knowing, the world does have a yoke of Satan on, and they will not see its effects, its full effects, until the end of their lives, at which time it becomes too late to make any other kind of decision. A decision not to decide now is deciding to be yoked with Satan. Adonai can protect you from Satan's yoke, but not from being not yoked. That's a decision you make each and every day of your life. So will I trust my eternity to Satan or to Adonai? Everyone has to make that decision. There are some that think if they don't move their feet, if they just stay right where they are, they've made a decision not to walk with anybody. But the truth is, going backwards with Satan or not moving forward with Adonai is the same thing. Satan doesn't care if you don't choose him, as long as you don't choose Adonai. Because he gets all of those who don't choose Adonai. It's scary, but it's true. Everyone has to make a choice. We get an example from King David how Adonai wants us to choose. Psalm 119, starting in verse 30. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your judgments. I cling to your testimonies. Adonai, do not put me to shame. I run the course of your mitzvot, for you opened wide my heart. David said that he chose the way. It didn't happen by accident. It was as a sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. He made the choice and then clung to it. He runs the course of the instructions and does not keep wandering aimlessly. He knew and tells us that we must make the choice and then keep to it, striving to the goal that Adonai has for us. Not going off the path or slowing down, but holding fast and running to the end. For the congregation, it's a situation of joint servitude. That's when a congregation all believes and acts the same way in following the instructions of Adonai, which leads them to the furthering of the kingdom of Adonai. It allows a like-minded community to further the kingdom of Adonai, to interact with each other as well. But it's also to strive towards the common goal, which you should know here at Karen Orr, it's the good news of Messiah Yeshua to the Jew first and also for the Gentile. I'm inviting everyone to join in joint servitude or walking together. Regardless if you're a Jew or a Gentile, if you have a heart for Israel and for her people and want to see Jewish people saved, you have a place here. If you have not yet asked Yeshua into your heart, I say go to our website, www.shalomsavannah.com. Click on it. Click on where it says contact us. You'll have right there, you'll have my phone number and my email. Reach out to me and we can talk. If you're local, you're invited here to the congregation. If you're not local, you're invited to be part of the online family, the online community. Everyone's invited to walk with Yeshua with us. It's a decision to do. It's a decision to do the instructions of Adonai rather than to wander around in the world. And it's not a repressive decision. It's a decision of freedom. It's a decision of ease. If you're struggling and striving on your own, Adonai says, be yoked with me, and I will make your walk easier. I will share your burden, because my yoke is light and easy. Father, I thank you that you give us the opportunity to make the decision to be yoked to you. You make the decision. You make it so that the decision we make is a desire to walk with you. It's not an obligation to walk with you. Father, we desire to walk with you. Our heart says, you've said it, and therefore I will do it. Regardless of whether our heart wants to or not, it makes a choice that it desires to do everything you want done in our lives, through us, around us. Ruach HaKodesh, you're our advantage. You are our helpmate. You are the one who helps us to walk the way we're supposed to walk. You are the one who makes having the desire to follow after Adonai easier. And we thank you for that. Adonai, here at Karen Orr, we all agree that you are our desire. We all agree that your desire is to see all of Israel saved, and through Israel's salvation shall be the world's salvation. And through the world's salvation, they'll make Israel jealous so that they'll come back to the word. Adonai, we just thank you for your word. And everyone said, amen and amen.